Say this with me. I say that Immokalee
and this region of Florida
is in revival.
The blind see.
The lame walk.
The deaf hear.
The dumb speak.
The dead are raised.
Demoniacs are set free.
Maimed are made whole.
Thousands and thousands.
Tens of thousands.
Are born again.
Brought back.
From backsliding.
Brought into this
great revival.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you give somebody a hug this morning?
Hallelujah.
How many of you felt loved?
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Welcome to the Family Prayer Center.
We only know one thing, that he's in charge.
What are you going to do today, Pastor?
Well, I don't know. I'm just going to follow him the best I can.
We'll pray. He said, we're going to follow you. We'll pray for me that I go
the right direction always.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Right now, the right direction
would be just to lift
your hands and just magnify
him.
I glorify you,
Jesus.
I magnify
you and
exalt your name.
There's none
like
you, Jesus.
We praise you.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus.
How many of you
love to worship
him?
The thing
that you'll find out
about, the more
that you love to
worship him,
the more
he comes
and lavishes
his love on you.
He began
the relationship.
First John
says, not that we
loved him, but
that he loved us.
He began
it. He loved
us even
when we did not
love him.
He
reached out.
The amazing
part is Christ
gave himself
for us.
Almost
on
a chance.
He gave his
life. He
gave his entire life,
went into hell
and was resurrected
for us.
There
wasn't even a promise
that you would
accept him.
But
he gave it
just
on chance
that you would
hear the
message and
receive it and
say, okay,
I want
to be born again.
Hallelujah.
Then
when you received
and he
crossed that
void,
reached
into spiritual
death,
isn't this amazing?
He
gave your
dead spirit
enough
faith
just to
say, okay, I can
believe the gospel
message.
And grace
came to you.
Extended,
crossed a line
and said, okay,
listen,
can you believe
this, that Christ
died for you?
And something in
your spirit reached out
and said, okay, I
can receive it.
You had to make
the choice.
But then
the more that you get
to know him,
the more that you
call him
Abba and
love on him,
something
happens
quite wonderful.
He'll
come and
he'll begin
to love on you
and lavish
his love on you,
but
he's
kind of sneaky
in a certain way.
He's not
only wanting you
to know
how much he loves
you,
he's wanting
you to get to
love
your brethren
as well.
So
the change is
a lot of
times we're
thinking, I
love you, Father,
I love you.
He's
hiding,
and when I say sneaky,
I'm saying
he's not sneaky.
He's just saying,
it's just
he's hiding from
you
sometimes
your intent.
Because a lot
of times we think
all we want to
do is get to know
God.
And God says,
that's good. I
want you to get to
know me
in this
vertical
way and knowing
that I am your
Father and how
much I love you.
But what
I'm going to do is
I'm going to turn this
love
over into place
where you begin
to love the
world. You begin
to love your
brethren.
And you begin
to call on
me for
them
and love
them. Sometimes
we think,
I'll
just love you, Father.
You
and I'll just have a
wonderful
relationship and
I'll leave everybody
else out.
You can't do
it. That's what it's
all about, is
everybody else.
That's what
it's all about, is
everybody else.
And the thing
about it is, you
think, well,
I've got this
pure vein.
I mean, just a
pure vein.
Boy, you just
know me and God are walking
in a place in a pure vein.
The only thing
is, You can't love him any more than you love me. I can't love him any more than I love you. And if there's something inside of me that says, I love him, but I can't really love you, then the word says we're walking in a hypocrisy. But guess what? There is a way to overcome hypocrisy. Falling head over heels in love with him will eventually cause me to love you like he loves you and see you like... And guess what? The miracles that we're asking God for concerning revival, they're all in his love. Hallelujah. They're all in us loving one another as he's loved us. Hallelujah. Makes me want to come over and squeeze some more of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many of you feel blessed this morning? Well, that was only to set you up to say this. If you're blessed, how many would like to be a blessing? Hallelujah. Well, before we go any further today, and we're going to go into receiving communion here in a little bit. Why don't you just commune with him and ask God what he'd have you to give this morning, and that would be good. So I'm going to pray over you, and then you just pray a prayer. Simple. If you had nothing this morning, you're so welcome in this place. Hallelujah. You're so welcome in this place. And my relationship is with him is not, it's not based on what I'm giving this morning. It's based on the blood and the finished work of Christ. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just ask you, bless this time of giving and this time of sharing. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You're helping us go into revival. Amen. Much of this is just keeping us going on until revival hits. Hallelujah. So if you have something or if you don't have anything, let's all stand together one more time this morning. Marty, if you can give us something to bring this marching down. Hallelujah. If you missed anybody, you can just touch them, give them a quick hug. Let's get ready this morning to receive communion together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just stretch your faith this way and just believe. Rex, would you pray over this? Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. Father, we thank you for this blessing this morning, Lord. We thank you for everybody that's here. Lord, they're here on their own free will to be here this morning, Lord, and because they love you. So, Father, as you multiply this offering, multiply our time, Lord, and our time is spent with you more and more as we go in these days. So, Father, we thank you for it all. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Just a little bit before we go into this, and one of the things that he's going to do as we get closer to the outpouring is get our hearts in a place where we can walk in his love. And I said Wednesday night that the church that is calling in revival, church that has any authority over revival, the place that they're at, it's not that there's a major sin working in their life. I'm talking about the ones that have any authority. Now, a lot of times there'll be those that have been born again and then they fall away. He loves you. He's after you. He wants to bring you to a place where you can help out in the authority. As long as there's a sin in your life, standing between you and him. But guess what? There is something called the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. You can go to that blood. You can be forgiven again and washed. So much of the church that's thought that they were still in him, living in a life away from him, but he wants to bring them back. He wants to bring them back. So what I was saying was, it's not the church that's in the bars, and it's not the church that is messing around with the world and the sins of the flesh and those kinds of things that carry the authority. But those that are washed in His blood and going forward and allowing Him to change them and to speak His word. One of the last areas that seems to be a place of conquering is a place where we walk in His agape one for another. And that is, it's so true when God's wanting to get something across to us, that He wants to give us another level of His love. Now, 1 John chapter 2, we've read these things so many times before in the past, but we'll go to just a few places here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are glad you're seated next to the person that you're with this morning? Count them your brother, your sister in the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. John was writing in verse 7. He said, "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the very beginning." The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. What word was he telling them from the beginning? You better love one another. You better love one another. Hallelujah. Again, a new commandment I write. Well, he said, I give no new commandment. And then he says, a new commandment I write. Why is he saying that? He says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Hallelujah. It's true in him. What commandment? This commandment. That you love one another, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. What he's saying there is the darkness. I used to not be born again. I was in darkness. When I was in darkness, well, I got born again early, but let's just say personified, I'm a man that's out there. He's lived most of his life in the world. I had no way of knowing him. I was in darkness. And I had no way of keeping his commandments. The Old Testament Jew, all he could do is keep his commandments with his head. But he kept falling over and over. But when he said the darkness is past, he's talking about the darkness that was once inside of you. It's past. And the darkness that was inside of all humanity is past, because Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Now the new commandment that he's given us, that new commandment to love one another, it really was a commandment from the very beginning. The whole Ten Commandments is this, that you should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. The only thing is, they could not keep that because the darkness had not yet passed. But the darkness has passed now. For any of us that have been born again, we're walking in a spiritual light. We can keep the law. Hallelujah. Not only can we keep the law and we don't have to commit adultery anymore. We don't have to fornicate. We don't have to walk in lasciviousness, the lust of the flesh. All those things have passed. All those things have been given. We've got the power to live above those things now. But also we can go on to keep this new commandment that he gave us. He says, "He that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now." In other words, I love you, Homer.
Or
I love God. I love you, God, but I hate Homer. No, doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. He says, "He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him." Hallelujah. Stumbling in him was this, that if I thought that I loved God and I hated you, or I had something inside of you, there was something programmed for my future that I could fall. I want to take all programs out of my future. I want to take everything out, Father, in Jesus' name. Nothing inside of me that'll cause me to stumble. Nothing inside of me that'll cause you to stumble. He said this, that there's none occasion of stumbling in him if I love my brethren, but in verse 11, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, John 13. John was the only one of the disciples that recorded the foot washing and the Last Supper as it was in regards to some of the things that John had to say here in verse 13, or in chapter 13. Hallelujah. John actually, the writer of 1 John's a writer of the gospel. When he said, no new commandment or a new commandment I give unto you, which thing is true in him. Here's why it's new, even though in the old they had the commandment that they were to love one another. They couldn't keep it then. But we can keep it now. We can keep that commandment. It's true in him. We can keep it. We can walk in it. A new commandment. Now, Jesus said these words in verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, that's Judas, he says, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I have said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, I don't know if your Bible says this, but it should. By this shall all men know that you are what? My disciples, if you love one another. Now, if we had time to read it, what had just happened here was the Last Supper. Jesus had just washed all of their feet. When he washed all of their feet, there was a man there that was still in the crowd, Judas Iscariot. He was there and he was just hours away, just moments away from betraying Christ. When Christ approached him, he made no differentiation. He did not bypass him. In fact, he set the example of what he was about to preach to his disciples after Judas left. Because in their minds, they knew when he is speaking here that all men will know that you love me by you walking in love. They didn't know at that time exactly that Judas was the betrayer. They were able to look back and know his words. They knew that Christ had washed his feet as well. I tell you something. In this love that we walk in, when 1 John said, perfect love cast out all fear, one of the fears that we have as human beings going forward is the ability to trust and the ability to love. Especially if you've ever been in a betrayal situation, or especially if you've ever been part. Something inside of you will make up a program that you're wondering if you can trust God because of the way other people treated you. But in this love, in this perfect love that casts out all fear, there's a perfect love that gives us the ability to go beyond even when fear throws up a lot of red flags and says, I can't give myself over to you and trust because you may hurt me. Guess what? Love has no fear. It has no fear. Hallelujah. A new commandment I give unto you, that you should love. Why is it new? Well, it was in the old, but it's new now because we can keep it. Hallelujah. We can keep it in him. Hallelujah. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, just before we go into this. We have covered some of this Wednesday night. Paul said in verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord." Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bahati oklema. Ole maklese. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for this. Blessings and glory fall on your church. Fall on your church. Thank you, Jesus. He said, "I've received of the Lord." Paul said, "No, none of the apostles." What is this? Jesus. He's coming. Just waves of his glory. Why don't you just lift up your hands? He's wanting to bring forth change. He's wanting to bring forth change. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just pray for me to get through this, whatever he wants. I received. Makoche. Hey, Chaflomble. Modehakye. Ha dufle sekete. I'll do a work in these last days in your midst that you could not have imagined of yourself. Receive of these things. Allow me to purge you. Allow me to bring forth in this hour these cleansings and these washings, saith the Spirit of grace. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do you in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And he's saying this is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, and not discerning the Lord's body. And he said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." He says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Paul was talking about, because the church were not judging themselves in relationship of how they walked with each other, that many sicknesses and diseases came on them. Many slept, went to the grave early. But he said, if we'd judge ourselves, then he says, when we are judged, we're chastened to the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man is hungry, let him eat at home, that you come not together into condemnation. And he said the rest he'd set in order when he got to the Corinthians. Now the gist of that is this. He was giving us a way to continue to judge ourselves. How do I eat of his communion? Well, I'm discerning of the Lord's body. It was broken. One thing I understand is his body, Isaiah said, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I'm healed. Those stripes not only represent my physical healing, but they also represent any healing that I need to have in my life in regards to loving one another. When you're born again, somebody said and may say, well, what qualifies me to take communion? Not a priest, not a blessing. You first must receive the communion of his blood, which is you must be born again. And if you've not been born again and you're in this house this morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, it's so simple. The Word says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. That doesn't mean that you just believe in his existence. It means that you believe him, that he's your Lord, and you accept what he did, his sacrifice, for your salvation. And when you do that and you ask him to forgive you of your sins, then he'll wash you in his blood. And then you have to determine, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to forsake sin, and I'm going to walk a clean life. Then if you get on this road and you backslide, or if you go back into the world to some degree, well, guess what? He'll forgive you if you confess it. If you come back to him and say, Lord, so this is where we come to in communion when we come to places, Lord, we know in our life if there's places that we need to confess and say, Lord, that's not right. Forgive me. It's not only in areas of forgiving one another, but if there's places, nobody has to go in and teach you. But the Holy Spirit already teaches you. He lets you know what the Ten Commandments are. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. You'll not commit adultery. All those things. Lying. All those things. Well, all those things can be forgiven. They were forgiven at the cross. Then when we come back to him, if we're walking in a place where we need forgiveness for those things again, we ask him to forgive us and we determine not to do them again, to follow him. But when we come to this place of communion and we open up and say, okay, God, I want to follow you. I want to be part of your kingdom. I want to follow you in righteousness. I want to love. I discern, Lord, that the body that I'm taking here was broken not only for my sins, but also that I could love my brother and my sister as I love you. And I receive that communion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you all stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Rex and Reuben, if you would come. Reuben, would you please come? I'm going to ask you, we don't have any closed communion around here. The only thing that I would say is, if you've not been born again, ask him right now. If you've been born again and if you've not been living a righteous life, ask him to forgive you and determine to turn from those things and to follow Christ. And if you mean that with all your heart, then I invite you to come forward, to come forward. Ask him to give you the ability to go out of here today a changed person and to follow him. Take this bread, take this cup, and choose that the life that is in it spiritually will change you. Hallelujah. And you can come at any time, go back with your families and receive this. We love you. Immokalee is in revival. Hallelujah. Bring this forward. Hallelujah. Homer, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to bring the mic to you. You can just stand right there. Pray over this communion, anything the Lord has in your heart in prayer. It's home, but they're trying to get it on, I guess.
Father, we love you. We bless you. We cannot thank you enough, Father, for Jesus Christ, our perfect prototype. Our perfect prototype, Father. then as Christ ascended, Father, you gave us another perfect prototype, the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that we have all and we abound, Lord, and we know what we are to do in these last days, Heavenly Father, to bring you an everlasting glory. First and foremost, Father, to love one another. It's continual, Father, for us to love one another, to always judge our love walk, Father, on a continual daily basis. To love one another. 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 To love one another daily, Father. Out of that incorruptible seed, loving one another. To love one another, Father. And this is love, that we keep your commandments, Father. So cleanse us, Father. Cleanse our town. Cleanse our nation. Cleanse us, Father, of our sins. Make us, as only you can, Jesus, make us white as snow. We thank you so much, Father. We will not be led astray, Father God. We will not give over to logic. We will not give over to good ideas, but we will press forward, Father, pressing forward till we see as a body the 100% manifold, powerful glory of God manifested on this earth, Father, regardless of the price. Regardless of the price, Father, we're after you. We're after you, Father. We're after you to see your glory made manifest on the multitude. Nothing else, Father, but to see your glory made manifest in this world for people, for the homosexual, for the lesbian, for the fornicator, for the adulterer, for the drunkard, Father, that you'd bring them to their knees by the power of the Holy Spirit, Father. And out of that conviction, out of the rebirth, Father, we're also after them receiving all that Jesus Christ died for on Calvary, to see them restored, healed in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But that we would love one another. But that we would love one another. But that we would love one another, Father. But that we would love one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guess we can come forward now, Pastor. Please, as a family.
Received and prayed. Tarry, the word says tarry for each other. Pray for each other. And once you feel like you've spent some time with the Lord, then you can feel dismissed. Please come forward.